time for Sheridan's Premier Sports Talk, bringing you the latest from our Sheridan Bruins to professional sports everywhere. Pull up a spot on the couch. Get comfortable. You there yet? It's time for The Den on 90.7.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome inside The Den, Sheridan's premier show for sports. I'm the host, Kevin Sagdalen. Alongside me, AJ Wilson and Grant Jenkins. Sup, guys?
What's going on?
How's it going, Kev?
On today's show, we got your Raptors recap as we discuss their big win over the Indiana Pacers last night. We'll also get you caught up on what's going on in the World Baseball Classic, the NHL playoff race, and much more. So, first off, the madness in March, it has not disappointed. At this point, it was an action-packed weekend over these last few days for NCAA basketball. So, what did you guys think about? What are your initial thoughts about March Madness thus far?
Yeah, well, one of the biggest upsets of the tournament happened Sunday when South Carolina took down the Duke Blue Devils, 88-81. After South Carolina found themselves down by 7 at halftime, they went off for 65 points on 71% shooting in the final 20. Toronto native Dwayne Notis finished the game with 17 points, putting South Carolina booking their ticket to the Sweet 16 against the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, that game was pretty nuts. You said it right there, 65 points in the second half, 71% shooting against the Duke Blue Devils, who obviously have the reputation of being one of the best teams in NCAA history. They have a great coach in Coach Krzyzewski, and that game pretty much summed up how March Madness is, how momentum can shift so quickly. They're down at the first half. South Carolina being the underdog, they came out, scored 65 points in the second half, 71% shooting. I mean, that's crazy, crazy good. And shout out to Dwayne Notis. You mentioned that, AJ, as well. Dwayne Notis, Toronto native, he scored 17 points in the upset win.
I mean, it's kind of a shame we're seeing a lot of these Canadians ousted from the tournament so early. But it's good to see Dwayne Notis in there, still making an impact for his team. Hopefully we can see some more Canadians coming up. We know that Canada basketball is on the rise, guys. We've seen it for a few years now with guys like Andrew Wiggins. But let's get going with March Madness. Some of the other games that jumped out at you, Kev, I know for me the Villanova game was crazy.
Yeah, the Villanova game. I personally didn't fill out a bracket because I know it's unnecessary stress for me filling out a bracket, but I know a lot of people who put, Villanova going pretty much all the way, and them getting ousted early in the tournament, kind of broke a lot of people's brackets, and I got a lot of reactions from a lot of friends of mine saying how that Villanova game pretty much screwed their bracket up. So,
You said it the best. Your friends made those comments. I was looking all over the internet, and we're seeing memes off that Get Out movie by Jordan Peele with Villanova hats on, and it's just ridiculous. We're seeing how that they got ousted so quickly. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
March meme madness.
Exactly. That's exactly what this tournament's going to be now in the technological age. It's kind of interesting to see that.
Yeah, and you touched upon the Canadians in the tournament. South Carolina, they're actually moving on to the Sweet 16. They're going to be facing the Baylor Bears, who have a Canadian of their own, and Dylan Brooks. He's been making a name for himself, hitting game winners after game winners, hitting big shots after big shots. So it'll be cool seeing Dwayne Notis and Dylan Brooks kind of battle it out. They've really been making a name for themselves during this March Madness tournament. So let's see how far they can go.
Kev, I got one question for you. When it comes to the Baylor Bears, you think we're ever going to see as good of a soundbite as we did last year? I just remember, you have to explain rebounds to the interviewers. It goes to show you why we need good journalists, eh?
For sure, man. So on to the NBA now. The Raptors took down the Indiana Pacers last night by a whopping 25 points. The Raps had seven players finish in double figures, with DeMar DeRozan leading the way with 22 points. Leading the Pacers was Paul George. He had 18 points. Raptors big man Jonas Valanciunas recorded his 27th double-double of the season with 11 points and 13 rebounds. The Den's Brandon Murphy hit the streets at the Sheridan campus to see how well they know the Lithuanian Center.
Coming off a big win last night against the Indiana Pacers, the Toronto Raptor playoff hype is officially roaming around the air. I took to the halls of Sheridan with nothing but a piece of paper and a recorder to see if people were able to pronounce the name of Raptors big center Jonas Valanciunas.
Can you read me the name on this piece of paper?
Jonas Valanciunas.
Valanciunas?
Jonas Valanciunas.
I pronounce it in Spanish. Jonas Valencianos, Valencianas.
Jonas Valencianas. Sorry. Jonas Valencianas.
Jonas, when I say Unas, when I say Unas.
So the last name is Valanciunas.
Valanciunas.
With only 12 games remaining on the regular season schedule, Valanciunas and the Raps are looking to get second seed in their division. They face the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night here in Toronto. For the Den, I'm Brandon Murphy.
great work, Brandon. That was a pretty good package right there. You got some good reactions from fans. I'm still kind of surprised people don't know how to know who he is, even if you're not a basketball fan. I mean, he's been with the Raptors for a few years, but I mean, he does kind of have a hard name to pronounce. Valanciunas.
Just ask Charles Barkley, right?
Yeah, when Charles did it a few years ago, that was pretty jokes. It was like Valensu sauce or something like that. So yeah, that was a great patch, Brandon. Good job on that. But you know, sticking with the Raptors, they got a big win last night. I don't know if you guys caught the game, but what do you guys think about the Raptors' chances this season? I know they've kind of been struggling last couple months, really, but last night was a good sign for them.
Yeah, not too bad. They won 116-91 against the Pacers. You know, overall, typical Raptors. I mean, the last few years I've gotten used to the upsets they've given us, but it's nice when they pull through.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, Grant, what's your take on the Raptors right now?
Man, you know what? I think we're really seeing right now if the Raptors are for real or not. Without Kyle Lowry, you can see their 3-point shooting really struggling right now, and that's something Kyle Lowry was excelling with when he was in the lineup. You can tell that it's definitely a different Raptors team when he's not in the lineup.
Yeah, for sure. And ever since Lowry's been out, the Raptors have been really inconsistent in terms of their shooting and their performance overall. I mean, before last night, they were shooting only 33.8% from three, which isn't, you know, an ideal percentage, especially when, you know, in today's NBA, when the 3-point shot is so critical. You know, that kind of put the Raptors down and it put them in a bad position in a lot of the games. But last night, they were red hot from downtown and they were able to make their shots. And you see the difference it makes when they're making shots and they're not making shots. I mean, as simple as it sounds, it really is that, because they've been getting good quality shots, even in their losses. They just haven't been making them, and last night they just ended up being able to hit their shots. You know, there's no science to it. It's, if it goes in, then you know, it helps your team out. And not only does it, you know, help your team out offensively because you're putting points on the board, but it opens up the floor a lot for DeMar DeRozan. And you mentioned how Kyle Lowry's out of the lineup. With Lowry out of the lineup, that puts a lot of toll on DeMar DeRozan, who likes to get to the rim, who likes to attack, get to the free throw line. But when your guys are making shots, it makes it so much easier because the floor is spread out, and you know, it relieves a lot of pressure off of DeRozan because Lowry's not there. So
I think it's a big confidence thing, you know. I mean, I watched last night. Sure. You see that sequence with Serge Ibaka hitting back-to-back threes from the exact same spot, and those shots weren't falling a couple of games ago. Yeah. But it's all about confidence when it comes to these Raptors. You can see when the shots fall and their offense gets going, it almost motivates them to play better on D. But when it's not going, just a train wreck. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Because like they're getting good looks, and then even the game before, Serge Ibaka, he was shooting a lot of threes and he airballed a couple. He wasn't hitting his shots, and we see the difference like night and day from one game to another. I mean, he was shooting poorly one game, and the next game he's shooting well, and it becomes contagious with the entire team, because especially when you're on the home floor, the crowd gets into it. So it's a great thing for the Raptors that they got this win, but you know, the main thing is consistency and see if they could finish the season off well. So
I mean, you said it best, consistency there. We're looking at a new Raptors team with all the additions they brought in, PJ Tucker, Serge Ibaka, like we're just talking about, losing Terrence Ross, and then Lowry to injury. That's a lot of shakeup in a team. And you can see Casey's been tinkering with the five that start as well as coming off the bench. So it's a work in progress right now, but I think they'll get it together.
Yeah, and PJ Tucker, he really kept the team elevated there in the start of the fourth.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, he's huge on energy.
Yeah, he definitely brings a lot of energy. So before we head out to break, I'll hand you over to Tyler Hopkinson, who has the latest in the news you need to know. Tyler?
Thanks, guys. So A Muppet with Autism will be making its TV debut on Sesame Street in April. The character, Julia, has been the figurehead of an initiative by Sesame Workshop, which promotes better understanding of autism and to reduce the stigmas that come with it. Pope Francis has asked for forgiveness from the church's role in the 1994 Rwandan genocide. In a meeting with Rwandan President Paul Kagame, begged forgiveness for the sins and failings of the church and its members during that period. The UK government announced that it will trigger Article 50 on the 29th of March, which will be beginning the two-year process of exiting the European Union. World-renowned cosmologist Stephen Hawking is going to space. Hawking revealed on Good Morning Britain that he will leave Earth for Virgin Galactic, Richard Branson's spaceflight company. A Canada-wide warrant has been issued for 43-year-old Justin Kyer of St. Catharines, who is wanted in connection to the death of his 7-year-old stepson. And lastly, FBI Director James Comey publicly confirmed today that the FBI will be investigating into possible Russian interference in the Trump presidential campaign. So now we're going to bring it over to Jessica Brau, who talked to students about the lack of sleep Canadians are getting.
This weekend, a study published by the RAND Corporation was released that claims about 20% of Canadians are not getting the recommended 8 hours of sleep. Lack of sleep can cause reduced productivity and reduce students' ability to learn. Given that college students are no strangers to long nights, I went out to ask them what they thought of the study.
Oh no, that sucks. It's sad. We should be getting more sleep. We shouldn't be bombarded with, like, I'm assuming it's due to work. I know that's why I only get a certain amount of sleep, is we're bombarded with so much work in a day and we don't have time to get it all done in a reasonable hour. So I think it's really sad that we're getting really unhealthy because we're not getting enough sleep. So I think it sucks.
I try to. It's difficult with the workload and trying to, if people have jobs and stuff, to try and figure out enough hours in the day. I think I'm definitely more successful than others on getting sleep, but there are times that I can't because I'm stuck doing work or stuff with school. Oh God, I am not okay if I get 5 hours of sleep. I need like triple espresso if I do that. But usually I'd say it's about 6 or 7 hours on average, so it's not awful, but that 1 hour can do a lot to you.
It's not good, but it's also reasonable considering like the working world and everything and how everyone is always just so constantly busy. And people want social lives as well, so it's just impossible to get the amount of sleep that you actually physically need. We'd have to kind of restructure our whole society if we wanted to actually get the amount of sleep we need. I mean, I try for 6, but sometimes less.
So there you have it. While most students are not getting enough sleep, they themselves are victims. For The Den, I'm Jesse Cabral.
Thanks, Jesse. I definitely fall in the majority of students not getting enough sleep. So I know I'm not alone with that. Coming up after the break, Grant will have the latest in entertainment news, so don't go anywhere.
Don't call us for delay again. This is 90.7, The Den.
Welcome back inside The Den, guys. It is time for some entertainment. Here are your latest headlines. Music legend Chuck Berry has passed away at the age of 90. The famed guitar player was best known for his hit song Johnny Be Good, which enjoyed a resurgence in 1985 after being made famous by the hit movie Back to the Future. Actor Mark Hamill made news over the weekend for a tweet that he sent out. The Star Wars actor posted a picture that is being speculated as one of the first images of Hamill himself portraying Jedi Luke Skywalker on the set of the original Star Wars. This tweet, along with a few others between Hamill and star John Boyega, who plays Finn in the most recent film, seem to be building up and creating more anticipation for the release of the trailer for the series' next installment, The Last Jedi. In other news, on Friday, Marvel's latest Netflix series Iron Fist made its debut. The reviews on the show were very mixed between fans and critics, however. According to Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave the series an average score of just 16%, while general audiences gave it 86%. and as of Monday, the biggest complaints of critics come from the poor dialogue shown throughout the show. Finn Jones' one-dimensional portrayal of Danny Rand and the underwhelming fight choreography below the standards of previous Netflix shows Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. The four heroes will unite to defend New York from a new threat in the series The Defenders, set to premiere on Netflix later this year. And finally, wrapping up at the movies this weekend, Disney struck gold with Beauty and the Beast. After its long-awaited months of anticipation, it debuted for audiences, drawing in an astounding $350 million globally over the weekend, making it Disney's best opening for a live-action remake yet. Over to you, Kevin, for some entertainment chat. So what do you really want to pick up from over this weekend with entertainment, even all those headlines, or entertainment and sports overall?
Yeah, did you end up watching Beauty and the Beast yet?
I can tell you right now, I have not yet seen it. I'm a huge Emma Watson fan, so I'm definitely going to have to go see it.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have to go see it. I've heard a lot of good things about it, so hopefully it doesn't disappoint. I know Disney has like this big aura around them and a lot of high expectations for them. And any little mistake that they do, they kind of, a lot of people really nitpick at them. So did you end up watching any of the Iron Fist?
I actually finished the Iron Fist series earlier this morning, and I can tell you all right now, I agree with the fans. 86, I don't know where they're getting 16% from. I agree with the statements. The choreography is a little bit cheesy at times, but it's definitely a great series. Made me want to see The Defenders even more.
You thought it was good?
I thought it was outstanding.
I'm caught up in between. Like, there's moments where I think it's good, and then there's a lot of moments where it's kind of typical and, you know, very generic superhero kind of style. So that's all for entertainment. Thanks, Grant, for that. Let's roll over to Tyler Elson, who's got the latest in sports today.
All right, thanks, Kevin. So as we all know, the playoff push is well underway in the National Hockey League, as three teams have already clinched, those being the Washington Capitals, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and finally last night, the Chicago Blackhawks. And there will be many more teams to come. Our Toronto Maple Leafs are in a three-way battle with the Islanders and the Lightning for that final wildcard spot. The Leafs are also only 3 points behind the Bruins for third in the Atlantic and actually face them tonight, and which is probably the biggest game of the year so far. So if the Leafs win tonight, this would mean that they would be only 1 point back of the Bruins with also a game in hand. But if they lose, then we'll be 5 points back, and the only hopes for the playoffs would be the wildcard spot. So in other hockey news, Sidney Crosby was back in the same old magic last night as the Penguins played host to the Florida Panthers and took home a huge 4-0 win behind a Sidney Crosby natural hat trick. So in baseball news, the Toronto Blue Jays were in action last night with one of the most thrilling games you'll ever watch. The game ended in a tie in the ninth inning with the score 11-11. So the Jays entered the ninth inning trailing 8-7 against the Pirates, but quickly added four runs to take the 11-8 lead. But then the Pirates then responded with three runs in the bottom of the ninth, and then the game ended in 11-11 draw. The Jays will be in action right now against the Minnesota Twins as big slugger Josh Donaldson is making his spring debut. So in football news, Tom Brady's missing Super Bowl jersey has now been recovered. The search for the jersey that went missing after the 34-28 Super Bowl win is over, as the NFL has just released a statement saying the jersey was in possession of a credentialed member of the international media. So the NFL has also said the jersey was found through the cooperation of the NFL, the Patriots security teams, the FBI, and even the law enforcement authorities. The NFL has now also released that the same culprit may have snatched up Von Miller's helmet as well as it went missing after the Super Bowl 50 win. So now we'll head back over to Kevin.
Thanks, Tyler. Onto the local scene here at Oakville, Tyler Elson also covered the Ontario Minor Hockey Association Finals. We'll do a little give and go with him to see how that tournament wrapped up.
On Sunday night, the Oakville Rangers visited the Aurora Tigers in the finals of the OMHA Championship and came with a huge 3-2 win. The Den took to the streets of Aurora to talk about this magnificent win.
The anthem was finished, the crowd was buzzing, and the players was ready to go. It was game time. The third period was starting, the score was tied 2-2, the crowd was trying to pump up the boys, and this will be the biggest period they will ever play in their whole life. Hail carry hat-trick goal. The Rangers had a 3-2 lead with 3 minutes left and looked to close out the victory. The Oakville Yokohama Rangers close out the game, win this series 4-3, and are now OMHA champs. Time to celebrate there, boys.
I'm over the top, over the moon. The boys, this is a long road to get here. They played fantastic, and they came away with a 3-2 win. And I'm so proud of them.
Next up for you guys is OHS and Cactus Hastings. Like, what do you have to do right now to prepare for that?
Well, what we have to do right now is celebrate this victory and then back on the ice this week and prepare. And we have no idea who we're going to be meeting. But if the boys play up to their potential, then anything is possible.
All 17 of us contributed to the season. So excited. It's my first ever OMHA win.
So you're now headed to the OHS. Are you guys ready for that?
Yeah. Haven't had much of a look at the other teams, but I think we'll do just fine.
You know, I'm pretty excited, but this is nothing. We're going to go to the big show. We're going to win it all. This is light work. This was a cute tournament.
So, Kale, you just got a hat trick in the OMHA finals. How are you feeling right now?
Well, you know, I'm really pumped, but, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it without my line mates feeding me the puck and giving me those opportunities to put the puck in the net.
After a historic season and OMHA win for this novice hockey team, they are now off to Kapus Kaysen to battle in the OHFs, playing the best teams in Canada. Reporting for The Den, I'm Tyler Elson.
Good stuff, Tyler. Sticking at the local scene, I want to give a shout out to the Sheridan Bruins. They were out in PEI for the Nationals over the weekend. They brought home the silver medal. Wasn't quite the gold, but they were right there. It was a great game. So shout out to the Sheridan Bruins for a tremendous season. They were undefeated until that final, so it was kind of a crazy run. And they also represented Coach Flack, who couldn't make the trip with them, but they represented Sheridan really well.
Oh man, that play for Flack theme over the weekend was huge. The shirts team was wearing was absolutely great. Great to see the Sheridan Bruins. We give a shout out here. Just good job, guys. Congrats on the OCAA.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely next year.
And from the minors over to the big leagues, the regular season for the NHL and NBA are winding down. This brings us to our roundtable topic of the day of resting players down the stretch. So NBA Hall of Famer Karl Malone recently called out the Cleveland Cavaliers for resting their big three in Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron James in their recent game against LA Clippers, saying, "If you don't have at least 10 years experience, get your ass playing." Joining AJ and I to talk about these rest days for players are Grant and Brandon. So guys, I know the NBA rest days for superstar players have become a popular thing around the league last few years with the wear and tear of the long season. Is this the same case in the NHL?
It kind of depends on how the season goes. I mean, if you look at it right now, you have teams like Washington, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Chicago who are kind of battling it out to get the President's Trophy, which means home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. So I don't think they're really thinking of resting anyone anytime soon. If, like last year, Washington had a pretty good margin on other teams, so in that case they might rest, you know, certain key players like Ovechkin, Holtby. He started a lot of games, so he was one that they had to rest. But now all the teams are still kind of battling. It's a really close race here.
I mean, it's not so much about rest. I think we saw with Kyrie there that something they didn't really need the rest. It's like the NHL players. They want to be on the ice. If they aren't competing and they're up in the press box, the majority of the time they're not happy and they want to get back in that lineup. So it's not really the case in the NHL. We do see it, obviously. Teams get resting, like Brandon was saying. Braden Holtby's games are starting to rack up. Maybe it's time to put them on the shelf and let the backup start a few that are kind of nothing games at the end of the year, unless you've got that President's Trophy.
And I kind of like how we... you know, compare the NBA and the NHL season because they're very similar. They run through the same amount of time and they're both 82 game seasons. You know, one thing the NBA was kind of thinking about in order to reduce these kind of rest days for superstar players is maybe reducing the amount of games or expanding the calendar year so there's not a lot of back-to-backs. There's not a lot of, you know, 4 games and 5 nights. Do you think the NHL is doing anything in terms of resting players, like in terms of scheduling? Because I know it's a long season for the NHL as well.
Oh, it's a big issue right now. Every team built in their schedules got what they would call like an off week, almost like the NFL. And teams are actually finding that when they come back off this off week that they're not as sharp as when they went on it. It's become a big deal among the players, something they're not really into. I think Brandon could agree with that one, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think I was talking to Kev about it earlier. I mean, this bye week thing that they brought in, a lot of players were not fans of it because, like you said, they come back, they're not as sharp. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain that during a bye week, they're not even allowed to practice. They just can't hit the ice at all. It's like a week off. So then they come back, like, maybe the night before they're probably allowed to practice or something like that. And then that's when they can sort of get back into it, but it's just not the same.
Oh, I mean, the NHL is kind of tough like that. You got games where there's sometimes they're playing two games in three nights. It gets tiring. Physical sport like hockey, I'm not knocking basketball, I'm not saying it's not a grinding season, don't get me wrong here, but that physicality of hockey just takes it out of you. And two and three nights, myself playing, couldn't imagine it.
And how many bye weeks do they get?
Each team gets one. And this is like something new that they introduced this year. A lot of the general managers were complaining. They're just calling it a joke.
And they just put it in a random like spot in your calendar.
It's kind of like, for most teams, it's like in the middle of the season, probably normally where the Olympics would be, maybe even before that, I'd say. But yeah, a lot of people aren't fans of it at all.
I mean, the NBA kind of did something like that for the All-Star break. So they have a longer All-Star break. Before, it used to be, you know, All-Star weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then, you know, you get back onto your team, back in action, like on the Wednesday night, say. But now they have a week off, so it's kind of like a bye week for everybody. I mean, a lot of guys go on vacation and stuff like that, but guys can work out as well. It's not like a complete lockout of you can't work out or do anything at all.
It's just the NHL being weird like that. It's typical.
Yeah, but do you think, you mentioned how like the NHL players, it's a lot more physical game. Do you think it's just the nature of NHL players kind of fighting through injuries and stuff like that? Because I know in the NBA, once you get like a little tweak or a little injury, especially if you're a star player, you know, they don't want to risk anything at all, so they rest you. Do you think NHL players just kind of have a reputation of just, you know, going through injuries more than NBA players?
Yeah, I don't know if that's just their mentality. I mean, hockey's really pictured as a tough sport.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, with the grueling schedule, it's mainly in the playoffs that you see this kind of stuff, because it's such a long road to get there, and players might never get there in their career, so they're not going to let, you know, something minor keep them out of a game. For some players, it's extreme. I mean, Patrice Bergeron a couple years ago played with his punctured lung, fractured ribs. Like,
that is
nuts. It was insane.
No, I mean, you see that with a lot of the injuries now, unless it's head-related. The NHL has made a big crackdown on that the past few years. If you can lace them up and you get out there, you feel well enough, the team doctor says you can go, well, like Karl Malone says, get your ass out there.
Yeah, I love how he just put it out there. But, Brandon, you mentioned, like, the playoffs. Another thing I wanted to touch on, a few weeks from now, the NHL playoffs are going to start, NBA playoffs are going to start. But, I heard you're not a big fan of how the seeding works with the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, and I think pretty much any hockey fan can agree with me that the new seeding is just an absolute joke. So it's pretty much the divisions going at it. Unless it's a wild card matchup, then you might get somebody from the other division. But they should just bring back this the 1-8, 2-7.
Yeah, because that's like, how it is in the NBA.
That's how it should be. And even Daniel Winnick had some comments about it today, calling it the stupidest thing ever. And you know what? I have to agree, because the way it worked a couple years ago was just, if you were the best team, you would always face the worst team possible. So, I mean, if you look at 2010, the only way Washington, who finished first, could have met Chicago, or met the number two team in the conference, would have been in the conference finals. So it never would have happened, like, before that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree with that. It's something that we're looking at in a broken format with the NHL. They went over to the wild card system, and I think a lot of the fans would say that, yes, it was kind of good at first, but I think they're kind of getting tired of it. Me, myself, I'd rather see the 1-8 seeding, so.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just had a couple things. Like Grant said, it creates these like kind of rivalries, which we all like to see. But at the same time, it's fresh to see like new matchups. And the way the seeding works is that right now you have teams like Columbus and Pittsburgh, who are respectively 2 and 3 in their division, who are going to be going at it, and who are also 2 and 3 in the league. So in a first round matchup, you're going to have a top three team in the league getting eliminated, while the other top three moves on. So it doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're running out of time for this episode. Really appreciate everybody listening in. Chime in if you want. Let us know what you guys think about this new format in the NHL and, any of the topics that we discussed. Thanks again for tuning in, and hope you enjoyed, and see you all next week.